Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. This is where sports betting lives. How you doing, man? You
doing well. How about you?
I'm good. You know, I never thank the people behind the scenes, Kelly. We are nothing without the folks who make this show happen. Brendan is back there. Darnell is back there. Does Ortega do our show, or he just shows up and hangs?
No, he does the next show. Okay. He shows up about an hour before that. Yeah.
Brian Ortega, who's a North Star when producing programs here at the network, is what entertains me, Brian Ortega. That's his whole thing.
He helps us out with any movie trivia that we need.
Reggie,
that's for sure.
Reggie is here, of course, every day.
Not here today, though. We have the great Isaiah Wrinkle filling.
Is here when Reggie is not. The list goes on and on. If I left out anybody,
DeMond's back there.
DeMond's back there. Yeah. Anyway, we're nothing here at VSiN without those guys. So thanks to those guys every day. The tweets come up. It's all them. We got a great show. Second hour, as you know, on Fridays here has become a staple on the numbers game. Nothing but football. Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Chris Felica, the Bear, on college football and beyond from Fox Sport. We're calling it the British version today. Fox Sport. Also, Steve Fezzik will be here. Steve Fezzik and I have gotten into this routine where not only does he ruminate on all things NFL, but he gives his favorite plays on the look-aheads to next week and says, here's where I think it's going to move. Here's what I'm betting. And so that has been a good staple for us. And then it's Dr. Bob, who had the audacity, had the nerve, the chutzpah, to lose a bet last week. I think we split with chutzpah. Dr. Bob.
What was he, 5-0 before that?
He was 5. I think we're 6-1 now. Yeah, okay. He was 5-0. Or 7-0 or 5-0. I lost track. Yeah, I think it was 5-0.
I was going to say, if it was 5-0 at one point, but I might be missing a
point. No, I think you're right. Okay. I think it was 5-0, and now he's 6-1. So he'll be at it with another couple college football plays. And you know how the Dr. Bob segment goes. I say, Bob, go. And then Bob goes. And then halfway through the segment, Kelly's in my ear screaming, go to the next game.
Bob, stop. Bob, go. Bob, stop.
So we'll do that. By the way, the first hour, we should not skip over the first hour. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke and Paul Carr with his 3-pack of picks. And what does Paul Carr do? He moves the chains forward with Premier League picks each and every year. He's doing just that again this year. I think he's just a tick above 500 in the black, as
that's,
they say.
That's the Football Friday edition.
Football.
Yeah. First hour's football.
First, it's all football. First hour is global. Second hour, our own American version. Speaking of our own American version, I've tried to bite my tongue about this because you don't want to be ungrateful that football finally got here. But we had a couple weeks like this last year, too.
Yeah.
And I remember Drew was on last year on the show, Drew Densick. And I remember there was a couple weeks where I was like, wow, that Sunday actually felt a little bit like work. Well, last night, that ain't a good product at all from the NFL, but I hope everybody played the under, which I made a case for yesterday. That gets home as the Cowboys beat the Giants 20 to 15 in what can only generously be described as a snooze fest.
Oh God.
Awesome. Oh my God, with the flags. I thought Al Michaels was just going to jump through the screen and go crazy.
That actually might have been one of the most entertaining parts of the game was Al Michaels when he had the Amazon joke too. Like, they're going to run out of clean flags. Like, if someone have Amazon deliver some over. Like, that part alone made it very tough to watch, Gil. And then just the actual football product wasn't all
well. The flags alone, 15 accepted penalties in this game. Those are the accepted penalties, 15 for 124 yards. If you had shown me the box score this morning and told me that there were 35, I would have believed
you. Oh, me too. But 15, how many did Dallas have? 11?
Dallas alone had 11 for 89. Yes, they were the main culprits. Cowboys, Dak ends up 22 of 27 for 221. He has won 13 straight now. Versus the Giants. I did not know that heading into that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second longest streak ever for a quarterback versus an opponent. Bob Greasy against the Buffalo Bills back in the day had 17 in a row. So Dak is behind that. Lamb rebounded with a good game, 7 for 98 and a touchdown. And then Daniel Jones in defeat, 29 of 40 for 281. But I guess the bottom line is here. Did we learn anything new about either team? And I would say no. The Giants with 26 yards rushing in this ball game. So at least Dallas got the best of the opponent's running game for once. I don't know how much of that is Dallas and how much of that is the Giants' futility. But I don't know. I don't know that I leave
on
that,
the other side.
Yeah, I don't know if I leave that game thinking, oh, wow, the Cowboys won a football game. Maybe they're back on track. I certainly don't think that.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons now has an ankle injury to tend to. He left the game earlier with a bit of a little ringer in his head. And then a concussion on the other side with Malik Nabers. So the Giants will have to keep, obviously, monitor that situation, as we will as better. So Giants lose, Cowboys win, but I'm not – listen – neither of these two teams looks like they're heading to a postseason right now. I really don't think so.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair to say. If the Cowboys are going to get there, man, some things got to change around. That's for sure. I thought they were, like, first half, it felt like, it actually felt like heading into the second half, this might end up being a good game, right? Like, it was, Giants were working their way down into Dallas's Dallas territory, but had to keep settling for field goals. Cowboys had a couple nice offensive plays in that first half. Yeah. You thought, okay, maybe they're kind of building to something here, and we're going to see a little bit more of an explosion in the second half, and it went the complete opposite way. This is one of those Thursday games where you sit here on Friday, and you could say, yeah, you got to win if you're the Cowboys. When you talk about DeMarcus Lawrence heading out of that game and missing, Michael yeah. Parsons and whatever's going to be going on with him today, I think an MRI scheduled for today for him. Like, those are huge losses if those guys end up missing time.
Remember, the under was largely based on that stat, courtesy of Sean Corner over there at Action Network, which is Dallas in the red zone was giving up touchdowns at a 90%, 91% percentage heading into that game. And those things typically regress to the mean. Again, mm-hmm. Cleveland last year, great defense, but inside the red zone, they were giving up a touchdown percentage at 71%, which is, you know, was the highest in the league. That stuff, either to the good or to the bad, typically regresses to the mean. So as handicappers, one of the things we've really got to look for in any sport, not just football, is what is sustainable, what is not, and that will oftentimes lead us to winning bets. Let me just say that unders in Thursday night games are the only things that have been working out for me. And I think with Steve Mackinnon, maybe his son AJ Mackinnon now had the stat, 16 of the last 20 Thursday night games have gone under when the home team is a dog. Now, I played not a home dog the previous week with the Jets, but Thursday night football remains a slogfest by and large. We'll get to our NFL bets coming up. I do want to update the baseball pennant races at this point. Not the pennant races. Everything's decided in terms of the division. We'll get to the pennant races, obviously, in the month of October. But right now, American League, again, just following for those who jumped on these bets, the Tigers plus 450 to make. The magic number is now 1. Detroit and Kansas City both win yesterday. The Twins lose. The Mariners have been eliminated. The magic number is 1. Detroit can clinch their playoff berth with a win against the White Sox tonight. I don't know how this Kansas City-Atlanta game, they haven't postponed it yet, but there's no possible way they can play this, right, between Kansas City and Atlanta tonight?
You would think so.
There's no way. If anything, it would be like completely gauche of them to do so.
Right.
Like, don't do that.
So they haven't canceled that yet?
Well, not officially.
Okay.
But everyone's expecting them to play a doubleheader tomorrow. That's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
So they haven't gotten around to it yet, just in case.
Everybody stay safe out there, man. That was crazy watching last night and this morning coverage of the storm.
Minnesota needs to hit a 9-leg parlay to make the playoffs, basically. They'd have to have Kansas City lose all three of theirs, Detroit lose all three, and them win their final three. That ain't going to happen.
that sounds easy.
Yeah.
It's like Survivor. It's easy, Gil.
It's so easy. What could go wrong? National League, of course. The Padres did lose last night to the Dodgers, in case you missed that late night. What does that mean? That means that the Dodgers have clinched the NL West. And so the Padres, in effect, who play the Diamondbacks, now they travel to Arizona for the final three games of the season. The only thing the Padres really have to somewhat care about is if Arizona swept them, there's a possibility then for sure, San Diego would not have home field advantage, let me be clear, in a best of 3-4-5 National League series. But that's the only thing. If they win one game, let's say they won tonight, they'd have nothing to play for over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Then they'd be locked in to the number 4 position. But Arizona's got three games against the Padres. Again, if Arizona sweeps, Arizona's in. If Arizona goes 2-1 and both the Mets and Atlanta go 2-1 or worse, Arizona is in. There's also a scenario where if Atlanta got swept, a remote scenario, but let's say Atlanta got swept and Arizona went 1-2 and the Mets went 2-1, we wouldn't have to play the doubleheader on Monday. But that's a remote scenario. We are looking at this point at playing a ridiculous doubleheader to decide it all, meaning deciding the last playoff position probably, or one of the last two, if not both of the last two, in the National League on Monday in Atlanta when all of this is cleared. So again, facing the prospect of Atlanta playing five games in 3 days, if in fact tonight's game is postponed in Atlanta, and then the Mets, if they were lucky enough to advance, would also have a situation where they would have to play three time zones, Milwaukee to Atlanta, then perhaps to San Diego. So it's a whole thing. Whereas Atlanta at least is in Atlanta now, but still five games in 3 days for that. So again, it's a mess in the National League. Our Braves who missed the playoffs, we have it on the show at 8-1. I have it plus 750 in the account. I think we're certainly not in the driver's seat like we are with the Detroit make. That's right on the doorstep. But I think we're in a good position here because Arizona still has it on their racket.
Wait to see what we get. What our prize is.
Yeah. And here, so there's another show. I don't even know
if we're winning, though.
Like, we are winning. Okay. We're winning with that, except another show has the Mets to win the pennant. So we won't have clinched yet.
That's what I was going to say. Obviously, if someone has longer odds on something, we might be in trouble.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what we're playing for, like we said. Except for unbelievable
pride.
I'm pretty
sure we're the only ones talking about it. So.
Oh, no. Ross was talking about it the other night. Okay, they were texting me about it. Dave Ross, kind enough to have me on the show the other night. Cashing out.
Dave, who I randomly ran into at the dry cleaners a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
That was a good moment.
did he say game recognized game? Yeah, saw what you were doing in there?
That's what it was.
We'll come back. Let's talk some football, some Premier League with Paul Carr. On the other side, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade. The app is going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. And coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. It is in Arizona. It is official. It is live in Arizona. Coming to Virginia in a couple weeks. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we get a lot of tweets, a lot about Matt Lindemann's haircut. That's been a popular subject on the old feed overnight. As is some Megapod reaction, I just want to read this one from, this is from Jason H11, Megapod recap, history of seismology, should be a weekly thing. We had a little seismology discussion with Drew Dinsick, who's a seismologist by day. Todd High on caffeine, should be a weekly thing. And the sprinkles were more vicious than the parking by the river in that. These are all inside jokes. Megapod, beating the book Megapod. Again, this week's guest, Drew Dinsick, for week number 4. Be sure to check that out. We always have a great time with it. And with a hurricane that landed on the Gulf Coast, Drew has, let me just say this for folks in California. I don't want to scare anybody in Southern California, but he was making the point that his seismology terminology was the tectonic plates are hot in Southern California. You may have had some tremors already, but he says these things usually happen in 30-year sort of gaps. And the famous Northridge earthquake of 94, was that 93 or 94, was almost exactly 30 years ago. So anyway, prepare for such things, Southern California. The difference between hurricanes and earthquakes is we know the hurricanes are coming. We don't know the earthquakes are. So pay heed to that. And we'll see if Drew is correct. We hope he's not correct, but let's see if he is. Let's talk some global football, Premier League with Paul Carr, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. That's C-A-R-R. He works at True Media Networks, where he is the, I'll get the exact title at old True Media Networks, but he's also the host of the Expected Value podcast. He joins us now from Topeka, Kansas. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm well, Gil. I have a 1989 earthquake story if you want to hear it.
Please, I'd like to, because that was Northridge was 93, I believe, in LA. Loma Prieta, 89, which of course everybody knows is the Bay Bridge series earthquake.
So I'm 9 years old, and when you're 9, you're super excited about watching the World Series. So I'm sitting down to watch the World Series, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but Bob Lee comes on my TV and it's telling me there's an earthquake and I can't watch. So my parents are off doing a project. I wander in there like, Paul, why aren't you watching the World Series? I said, there was an earthquake. And they just kind of stared at me and they're like, what? They had no idea what I was talking about.
Oh,
just so very matter of fact.
Oh, there's an earthquake. Oh, there's an earthquake. And you were relaying to them what had happened.
Yeah, just telling them. Very matter of fact.
For a second for a second there, I had like Sixth Sense vibes from you where you're like, I see earthquakes, like that kind of thing.
No, just very matter of fact, like it's raining. Like there's an earthquake.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, that was an interesting conversation we had with Drew, who seismologist by day, handicapper by night, I believe, is the way it works. All right. How's your Premier League season going so far?
We're plugging away. We're 8-7 so far, up a little over a unit so far this season. So we'll take it.
Any takeaways from the league at large?
Not too many. I mean, I think the league's, I guess the biggest thing is it's not the high scoring environment that it was last year. Not totally sure why. And again, we're only 4 or 5 games in, so nothing's definitive yet, but it looks like that may have been a little bit of a fluke for a handful of reasons. That and just Liverpool, I think, is better than expected. They could make a title challenge. I thought they might be a fringy top four type of team, but they've got it together, as we'll discuss, under their new manager already.
All right. You have a 3-pack of picks. These are all tomorrow, right?
Yeah, all tomorrow. We'll start with Nottingham Forest against Fulham. I have Forest to win this one outright at home, plus 140. Forest is unbeaten through 5. They're in 8th place, and Fulham's right behind them by a point. I don't think either team is quite that good, but I also don't think either one should really be in the relegation battle, which a lot of people had them further down before the season. The only question here, or issue, I guess, for Forest is one of their better players, Morgan Gibbs-White, is injured. He's suspended. So he's out for this game. He kind of pulls the strings in midfield. But I think they have enough firepower in Callum Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga to cover for that. And really, their defense is pretty good. They're giving up the lowest quality shots in the league. So I think they can, you know, shut down Fulham. Fulham's attack is a little better than maybe expected, but not great. I'd like Forest to win at home. I think they're a slightly better team, and you can get good plus money here because of that entry, I think.
You're also backing Brentford against West Ham.
Yeah, we'll take another home team to win against a not quite as good team. Brentford win plus 120. These teams are in 13th and 14th place, and Brentford's numbers, underlying numbers, actually look pretty bad. They're next to last in the league in expected goal difference, minus 4 this season, but we're only 5 games in, so you got to look at the schedule here. They've played at Manchester City, at Liverpool, and at Tottenham. So they've played against 3 of the 5 to 7 best teams on the road already, and they won their other 2 games at home. They beat Southampton, they beat Crystal Palace. So West Ham is more in that Crystal Palace range of teams, mid-table at best. Brentford's a better team. Brian Mbeumo's been playing really well for them up top. I like Brentford to win at plus 120.
All right. And then portend of things we were talking about earlier, you do have a play in the Liverpool game.
Yeah, Liverpool's going on the road at Wolverhampton. And Liverpool, like I said, they look like a title contender. They're about 5-1, where if I had to play a title bet today, I would take Liverpool because City and Arsenal are plus 1 something each. So not a lot of value there. But I think Liverpool may be as good as either one, and City's battling a lot of injuries. Liverpool is healthy. They have lots of healthy attacking talent. Their new manager, Arne Slot, I mentioned, he's got them clicking already, which surprised me a little bit. I thought it would just take closer to half a season to get transitioning from Jurgen Klopp to Arne Slot. But the defense looks good. They've allowed 1 goal and the second fewest expected goals in the league. So the underlying numbers match what we see in the traditional numbers. And Wolves have given up 14 goals in 5 games. That's not very good. Plus, their starting center back, Yerson Musquera, is out for the season with an injury. So I like Liverpool. All that to say, I like Liverpool to win this 1-0. Or some places you can find that bet at is. Some you parlay a win with both teams to score. No. I got a plus 165. Might be close to 150 this morning, which is as low as I would go on this one.
All right. 3-pack of picks from Paul. Nottingham Forest to beat Fulham. He got it at plus 140. Always shop around for the best price. Brentford to beat West Ham. And then Liverpool win to nil. What is nil? The famous Chrissy Mishpucha story. Liverpool win to nil at Wolverhampton. Paul got it at plus 165. That's your 3-pack. All of those tomorrow. Paul, before you go, you are famously on this show, you are 2 things. You are a Kansas City Royals baseball fan. You are a Miami Dolphins football fan. Can we get the brief Paul Carr feeling on each? Let's start with the Royals, whose magic number is 1. We assume, you know what they say about assuming, we assume they can get into the playoffs. If they do, how are you feeling about their chances?
I'd say a lot better now than a week or two ago. They've had 2 7-game losing streaks in the last month, which isn't great. Vinny Pasquantino's out, but we got to play the Nationals, which is always nice. Swept the Nationals to get in a good playoff spot. The Twins look like they're not interested. I was watching the Twins broadcast last night, and their announcers were so depressed. They were making jokes about the White Sox catching them. So things aren't great in Minnesota.
By the way, you see the White Sox thing real quick? The White Sox right now, in terms of the loss column, are tied for the worst record in the history of baseball. 42-120. Worst record. Was it 40-122 or 42-120? Anyway, whatever they are, they're tied, right? They just won 3 in a row. So they are desperately trying not to own this record by themselves, this record of futility.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little better about the Royals now, not just because of the win streak, but the bullpen's gotten it together the last couple of weeks. Starting pitching's been good all season. So that's obviously good for a short series type of thing. The question is just the offense. You know, since Pasquantino's gone out, they haven't been hitting quite as well outside of Witt and Perez. But hey, you get there. You got the Orioles who aren't playing all that well, or maybe the Astros who might be a little scarier just because they're the Astros. But hey, playoff baseball for the first time in almost a decade will be fun.
Yeah, let's hope they get there for some of us who have some World Series matchups with them. By the way, the White Sox 39-120, 42-120, the New York Mets team from the early 60s, the record holder for the worst record of all time in a 162-game schedule. And then your Dolphins, I hate to bring this up.
I gotta go, Gil. I can't really hear you. You're breaking up.
Is it possible? Because I got some pushback on this. But is it possible that they could be really bad this year?
Yeah. If Tua doesn't come back, definitely. Like 4 or 5 wins if they're lucky, if Tua's not back. I mean, I thought we might see a little improvement offensively after Skylar Thompson had a week to really get things going. And he's the starter and you can tweak the playbook. Not so much. So I think I think they could be last in that division pretty easily with the Tua asterisk of how much he may or may not play.
Yeah, I've said this before. I feel like the Mike McDaniel backlash is already beginning.
That'll be interesting to see because he obviously has a big asterisk of sorts on the season. There's no Tua, but that's also, you know, I feel like maybe you should have gotten a better backup quarterback. It's not like Tua getting hurt's a surprise.
Yeah, what's the Chris Collinsworth line? The two most important positions in football, starting quarterback and backup quarterback. Backup. Yeah. Paul Carr, 3 backup picks from the Premier League. Thank you, Paul, as always.
Thanks, Gil. Have a good weekend.
By the way, the title over there at True Media Networks is?
Senior Director of Media and Business Operations.
Wow. Well,
I don't know what that means.
Well,
but that's
excuse
my title.
Me. Good answer. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. We'll come back. Are we sure in the National Football League? And the larceny, smooth bet of the week, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, ready for the smooth bet of the week?
I love it. Let's go. Let's do it.
Smooth bet of the week, presented by larceny, wheated bourbon. That's wheated bourbon, Kelly. Locking a win and seize tonight, Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely. Smooth bet of the week in the National Football League. I am on the Detroit Lions when all is said and done at -3.5. This was one of my bets on the Megapod yesterday. Can I give my Megapod bets from yesterday?
Sure.
One of them was the under in the Thursday night football game last night. That hit. I'm also on Baltimore against Buffalo. Sorry, Bills fans. But the smooth bet of the week, the Detroit Lions giving 3.5 against the Seattle Seahawks. And part of this is just transitive property. Where in the case of the Seahawks, and I have a Mike McDonald coach of the year bet. I only want the best for them, but their 3-0 record, as we've discussed on the show this week, it's kind of fugazi, right? They beat Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos late. They required a sort of late flourish to win that ball game against the Broncos down there in Seattle, or up there in Seattle, I should say, 26-20. They only won by one score. Then the Seahawks take down the New England Patriots. That was a 3-point victory, and that was in overtime. Took them that much to beat the Patriots. And then last week, they're playing the Dolphins, and they're playing Skylar Thompson, and they really could not put that game away until very late. So they've beaten 3 teams in less than impressive fashion. I'm not taking anything away from them. I'm glad they banked the wins. But now it's a step up in competition. They're playing the Lions, who have kind of been, I don't want to say playing possum, because that's not the right phrase, but they have definitely been sort of lollygagging through some of these games, including the Cardinals game this last week. They couldn't put the Cardinals away. The week before that, though, The Cardinals. The week before that, they completely outgained the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by over 200 yards in that ball game and managed to lose. But I think the Lions are actually a better team than their performance has suggested. I think Seattle's probably a little worse than their performance in terms of results has reflected. And so the Lions -3.5, I think, in a step up of competition for the Seahawks in a Monday night game in Detroit. I like the Lions to cover the spread.
Yeah, like this was a game. I'm a little surprised it's kind of moved the Detroit way a little bit, the number here. This is, I think I'm a little higher on Seattle than you are, but no real interest in me playing that side at all this week. And Detroit, the closer it gets to a field goal, I have more interest in betting that side for sure.
The Detroit Lions, your larceny, smooth bet of the week. In order to have a nightcap, you need to have a night first. Make good on some bets, then pour some smoothness in your glass with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Whether you're making a paper plane out of your parlay ticket or celebrating a big payout with a classic Kentucky Mule, Larceny has all the flavor you need to craft cocktails so tasty, they'll have you toasting victory like a high roller. You're in charge, so lock in the call. Find a bottle near you at larcenybourbon.com and seize tonight. Numbers game brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. What about some other bets, Kelly? I just mentioned for me, I am on the Lions. I am also on the Baltimore Ravens. This is just me going back to my priors from before the season. I don't want to throw them out completely. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens are a better football team than the Bills. I think if the Ravens are to have the season that I expect from them, this is a ball game they win. You got to figure out a way to contain Josh Allen. And I know Mike McDonald is not there in Baltimore, but I do believe Baltimore figures it out this week. And by the way, let me just say this. Bills, if you win this one, well, I got nothing else to say. But I got Baltimore in this one. And the only other one that I have in the account so far, Kelly, is I have the Rams +3. This was the line that I thought was the weirdest on guessing lines. Mm-hmm. I get it. The Rams are banged up. But the full 3 points is still very peculiar to me here because it is Sean McVay against Matt Eberflus. And it is Matthew Stafford against Caleb Williams. I'll take the Rams +3. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if I was betting that one, that's the only way I'd look. I would say, man, I have just no confidence with the kind of injuries on that Rams side. I wouldn't want to get involved in that game at all. But it is we did see them operate pretty smoothly a week ago without a lot of those weapons in there. So I like it. Yeah, not a lot for me this week. We really played some openers and then haven't added much. Steelers Colts. I'm on the under in that game. Under 40 for me, but. Similar number still out there right now. Patriots 49ers under is a bet for me as well at 40.5. Similar number still out there on this one as well. Like that. And then I got a couple stale numbers on or bad numbers on look aheads. Cardinals laying 4.5. That's down to 3.5 after that impressive Washington performance on Monday night. I'll tell you, Gil, though, if I know it's hit 3 a couple spots and then kind of immediately got bet back to 3.5. If I see another 3, I'll probably dip back in on the Cardinals. Although the McBride concussion is definitely a problem. Marvin Harrison Jr. also limited in practice here. These first couple days is a bit concerning. I'll be monitoring that. If those guys they'll love the over, even at current number, about 50.5. Expect to see a lot of points in that game. Only the other thing that's not on the graphic, if you're watching at home, that I've added was Chiefs Bills. I played in a teaser. You and I a little bit on opposite sides on that Bills Ravens game, but I think it's a great teaser spot to take the Bills up to 8.5. And only other thing I think I'm going to add at some point, I just haven't figured out exactly how to play it, is the Jets. I think the Jets in a teaser is probably something I'm going to do. It's just we haven't really talked about it a ton. It's hard to have a ton of confidence in some of these teasers and parlays right now in the NFL. Yeah. I don't get, you know, scared off of playing things the way I'm used to playing them. But man, teasers and parlays not been a great route in the NFL. So
and there, at least until yesterday, I'm looking now at the current line movement. There was a boatload of Wong legs available to you this week.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's finding that dance partner I'm most comfortable with. I think I'll probably go back to the Chiefs, but then we're talking about two big favorites I'm bringing down.
Yep. It is noteworthy that you have more totals than you do sides, though. I think that is sort of the theme of this season.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. I mean, you and I have been doing these shows for a long time. You know, when it comes to NFL and NBA, I am more heavy on sides than totals, and it's usually not even all that close. And I have bet more totals in the NFL this year than I have sides.
You ready to do this?
Let's do it. Another exciting edition.
Are we sure?
All right, Gil, I got a few lined up for you. Are we sure Andy Dalton was the spark the Panthers needed?
Well, he's certainly a spark over Bryce Young. But if what you're asking is, are we sure that he's the spark they needed to actually get to a postseason? That's a maybe, right?
That's a
big maybe. And it's a maybe only because they're in a weaker division. So it sort of allows for the possibility. I don't know. You know, we had everybody sort of recommended the 125-1 to win the division, which is a great bet at that number. And it crashed to 15-1 in only 1 week. And then we had listeners
cash out.
Listeners saying, I don't want to cash out at four times what we already got the odds at. Four times what they had become, or four times your outlay, I should say. So I don't know. That's an open-ended question. Is he the spark they needed? Absolutely. Literally, he was the spark, you know. Not literally, because there wasn't actual sparks. But, you know, from Bryce Young, yes. To what effect? Who knows?
I purposely left it open-ended. I think Gil's maybe is telling, actually. The maybe is more confidence than I thought you were going to give. So, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Are we sure we'll see the same type of carnage in Survivor again this week?
No, we're not sure. But every, you know, the last couple of weeks I've said, well, that can't happen again. Right. I mean, look at that from week three.
It's wild.
Picks 1, 2, 3, and 4, most popular picks 1 through 4, all go down. Bengals, Browns, Bucks, and Raiders. Do I think that happens again? I don't. But if it did, like, what would surprise you anymore? It's funny that, you know, the guys who do the docuseries, who did the quest for 9.2 million, they're on the horn trying to get you to do stuff for this upcoming one. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, do you have a documentary to do anymore? Like, who's no one's going to be alive in a couple weeks at the rate it's going. Obviously, someone will be alive.
Yeah, DM us if you are still alive.
I'm Crack has one. Cleave has one. Joe Pita has one. I know Richard Palm has one. So I know a few
people.
But everybody's got one. Nobody's got more than that.
The list is stacking up, though. The beginning of the week, me and you were like, Crack's the only one I know of. Because he was sweating that out last Thursday on the show. All right. Are we sure the Packers are better with a sub 100% Jordan Love?
Estamos seguros. Ooh. For those listening in Spanish. We are sure about that.
Okay.
So if you're trying to suggest after 2 weeks that Malik Willis might be as good as Jordan Love.
I'm just throwing it out there. It's looked very impressive with Malik Willis.
He has been impressive. He's been great, and good for him, because I think he's you know, battled a lot of criticism on this, and he's been nothing but great. And Matt LaFleur was certainly angry about telling everybody that in the press room. You guys don't understand. You think you understand. You don't understand how good he's been. Okay, we get it. But no, Jordan Love is the guy that is going to put the Green Bay Packers' best foot forward without question. And Jordan Love might be a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I don't know, you know, the bar is low in this league at this point in terms of wide berth of great quarterbacks. But Jordan Love is absolutely the guy.
You know what I'm sure of when it comes to the Green Bay Packers is that Malik Willis has bought himself several more years in the NFL as a backup quarterback.
Maybe so.
When I really thought he wasn't going to be in the league much longer. So, okay, are we sure Anthony Richardson and or Will Levis will get benched at some point this season?
Oh, 100% we're sure on both of them.
All right.
Benched some point?
Yeah, at some point.
Oh, I don't think that's that big of a statement.
Okay.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson is behind Bryce Young in EPA per play.
Yeah.
And at some point, if he continues to be terrible, you're going to have to bench him. And Will Levis, what else does he have to do to be benched? I think it's coming on Will Levis. Titans have a decision to make. Are we sure? The segment that Kelly has tried to kill with midweek segments for the last 3 weeks. To no avail. What do we got next? How about some
Jason Weingarten?
How about some Jason Weingarten and then some Chris Felica? It's a numbers game. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Our all-new VSiN NHL betting guide is out now with strategies for betting the NHL, including previews of all 32 teams, Stanley Cup odds and predictions, and, of course, best bets. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 to reserve your copy of the guide, plus get instant access to our daily best bets, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video access, and exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Don't miss our must-have NHL betting guide packed with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Sign up for just $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Adam Burke, big shout out for the great job that he does on every betting guide, including this one, the NHL variety. vsin.com/subscribe. Check it out. One of the other things that we were talking about on the Megapod, we talk about all kinds of things on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod. check it out at the Beating the Book feed. Drew was saying that now that Bryce Young has been removed from football, do you know who his worst quarterback is?
Who?
Deshaun Watson. He like firmly believes he's like he's the worst quarterback in the NFL now.
Did Drew tell? Did he talk any more about his trip on the pod?
No.
And I'm not trying to joke here because I was listening to the Deep Dive podcast, which is a great podcast, him and Andy Molitor do. And we got to hear a couple minutes of the breakdown of his vacation. The part he left out was that when he returned home, apparently multiple of his fish had jumped out of the tank and committed suicide or something. And I heard it on the podcast. I was so distracted for the rest of the day.
No, he told the story about when he came back from Greece, when he was at LAX, or maybe it was on the way out. Either way, that's when an earthquake happened. And so he, a seismologist he's a seismologist, but his real job is he's a structural engineer. And so he is responsible for making sure buildings, you know, are intact in the event of earthquakes. And so he's like, oh, how cool, you know, I'm inside of a building while this is happening. And he quickly was like, this is not cool at all. But that, he talked about that. He didn't talk about his fish committing suicide. Maybe the fish jumped out because of the earthquake.
Maybe. I heard it on the pod. I was like, I can't think of anything else the rest of the day.
Yeah. True Didzik. We pass on our condolences.
Yes, we do.
Our heartfelt condolences. Sorry if you lost, Drew. I had no idea. Jason Weigart joins us from under a cloud of smoke at Spreadopedia via the Progressive Guest Line. Joins us now, right now. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's your week going?
Oh, man. I am so pumped. You know, that football game, you know, about, I don't know, like two quarters in yesterday, not even, like a quarter and a half, and I'm like, all right, can't wait for baseball this weekend. What a weekend of baseball this is, beginning tonight with four games. The Mets are in action. The Diamondbacks are in action. Obviously, those games matter. Tigers and Twins. Tigers trying to clinch. Have they canceled this Royals? Have they postponed this Royals-Braves game yet officially?
They have not. As of now, it's still plans to play. Did you catch the end of the Twins game last night? 13 innings of misery for them.
What was the Carlos Correa thing? Did he not run out of a ground ball or something?
He didn't run out a ground ball in the bottom of the 13th inning for the last out. That
unbelievable.
The first baseman ended up, you know, it was a wide throw. Had he been running full speed, he probably would have been safe and the game extended. But I mean, you can totally point to that. But the reality is also it was the 13th inning and the game was all but over at that point. So,
But you know what? You never know. I know things happen in every inning, but your season is on the line. And by the way, limiting Kansas City and Detroit to a magic number of two headed into a three-game series to end the season versus a magic number of one, needless to say, is colossal, right? Because the Royals have to play the Braves three times. So that's just brutal, brutal.
Well, It's real terrible for the Twins. You know, they got the O's coming to town after a 13 inning game yesterday, so it's not looking hot for them to get to this. I actually bet on the O's today, knowing they played 13 innings last night.
Yeah. So you're on the O's. Anything else today in baseball?
Yeah, I bet on the Braves. My reasoning for betting on the Braves, though, is because Chris Sale's final start is up in the air, and I got something. There's even a chance he doesn't start again this regular season. So, precarious position for my 100-1 Chris Sale most strikeouts. I certainly am not loving the spot I'm in right now, but that's baseball. And if you do read between the lines, it does sound like Chris Sale is not 100% going into the playoffs.
Your bet aside, and I understand you're obviously more concerned about your bet, trying to get him most strikeouts, but I'll ask the same thing I asked of you the other day. If you're the Braves and you have this, however they end up playing the three games against Kansas City, whether it's one game every day, Friday through Sunday, or if it's a doubleheader tomorrow, whatever happens, and then you've got the doubleheader against the Mets on Monday, and then the prospect, if you're fortunate enough to advance, to a postseason that would begin perhaps in San Diego on Tuesday, how do you play Sale and Fried ultimately? You're the manager. What do you do?
Well, I think you got to have Sale start, you know, some game. And the plan, I believe, is to start him in an elimination game. So they're holding him back. And there was something about Max Fried being on his routine today. So, I guess the earliest we see Sale is tomorrow. Most likely the day we see him is on Monday. I just don't know. I mean, you don't want to not pitch him with the season on the line. But the reality is, like, you know, we see his numbers from the last game and his velocity was down. All his peripheral numbers were down. It's if he's not 100%, they clearly know. And Chris Sale knows his body. He's the kind of guy who will tell you if he wants the ball. So if he doesn't want the ball today or he didn't want it earlier this week, that tells me what I need to know going into this final series about Sale.
So who did this postponement? I'm talking about the doubleheader on Monday. Who did this whole thing? Who do you believe it benefits?
Whoever plays the winner of the Mets Braves series in the first round of the playoffs, it certainly is not benefiting either one of these teams.
So it doesn't benefit the Mets over the Braves.
I don't think so. I mean, okay, the Braves get to keep their home games, home field advantage, but you know, you got to play a doubleheader last day of the season. There's really nothing crazier you can do than play a doubleheader on the last day of the season with the playoffs starting incredible. The next day. That's just,
it's incredible.
Such a weird way to play 161 games or 160 games and then just say, okay, go play a doubleheader and start the playoffs tomorrow.
Yeah, the reason I ask it that way, I know some people are like, why would you think it benefits the Mets over the Braves? Just a couple reasons, and none that I can prove at this point. But I do feel like the way that the Braves beat the Mets that first game of the series, it really did have the vibes of 2 years ago, and I felt like if they just kept playing, the Braves would just keep steamrolling them. Now they get the Mets got to like go elsewhere, and they get to resume it. And then there's the Sale Fried conundrum: like, what do the Braves do? Because Sale and Fried probably would have gone against the Mets had it just maintained in that order. And now I don't know what you do, right? With Sale,
well, the
and
Mets
Fried.
Still have to win some games.
They
this
still
weekend.
Do.
I mean, yeah. I mean, fortunately they're getting a team that's already clinched, but. You know, like ask the Twins last night, the Marlins didn't just roll over on them because they didn't want to be there. They played that game out to the end, and you know, all those games add up. So it wouldn't surprise me even tonight. Like I'll tell you, the Brewers probably a much better bet at +105 than back in Mets here.
Well, the Brewers don't have anything to play for, right? They don't have anything to play for. The Padres don't have a division title to play for either against the Diamondbacks. Those are sort of the fly in the ointment of these series, right? You don't know how the Brewers are going to treat it. You don't know how the Padres are going to treat it. Even though, as I said earlier, the Padres do have the small matter of home field in the best of 3, 4, 5 that could possibly come into play.
I don't think either of these teams this weekend are just going to roll over on their opponents and let them into the playoffs, though. Yeah. I don't get the sense. There are probably certain teams where that is true, but like I'm saying, just like the Marlins last night, they had every incentive to just roll over and go back to their hotel and get the season over with. And you know, some of these teams will play it out for the honor.
Well, the Giants have been great, but I'm talking about teams that are actually headed to the postseason because they have to, you know, they want everybody to be rested. So we'll see. I don't know. It's just a consideration. We'll see how managers decide to play it for teams like Milwaukee, who are locked into number two, and teams like San Diego, who don't know if they're going to be 4 or 5, but they're going to be one of those two things. Your best, but we only have like 30 seconds left here, Jason. Your favorite NFL play of the weekend is?
Bills +2.5.
Why?
I don't get that line. I think I have a little closer to pick. Bills have looked pretty good. Ravens look fine. I thought they, you know, go back, watch that game this last weekend. It was a little weird with the Cowboys in the second half, but give me the Bills 2.5 points here. I think that's the right side. Happy about that.
All right. Everybody's on the Bills bandwagon. 3-0 out of the gate here in the National Football League season. Good game. One of the marquee matches. By the way, this weekend, 8 early games, 4 afternoon games, and 2 Monday nighters.
Yeah, we still get the Monday night.
Yep. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Football Friday. Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.